title is a resolved yes among many no's. A resolved yes among many no's. Do you remember a time for you in your life when you decided, I believe this is what I need to do, amidst others giving you counsel, telling you to check all your boxes once again? Have you asked these questions yet? Maybe you should second guess your decision, and yet at the end of the day, you were convinced, I need to do this. That happened to me, just so you know, even coming from Seattle to Pleasant Hill. Some said, really? You're going to leave? You're going to Pleasant Hill, Oregon? I don't even know where that is. They still don't know where that is in some cases. I still have in my Bible some of the lists and questions to ask myself. And Sarah and I sat down and went through some of those. Because any time you part with the church and with friends, you're going to have that. Really? Are you sure this is what the Lord has for you? Just read through this letter and I pray it changes your mind. Any of you had those kind of accounts and yet you had a resolved yes, even among many no's? Well, that's what happens here in this text with the Apostle Paul. Why does he have a resolved yes? We're going to see that. Why so many no's? We're going to see that as well. Let's read Acts 21, 1 through 16. And we're just going to highlight actually just a few verses. There is so much in detail of the travels and what happened in each area that they stayed. But I really want us to come to this point of Paul was resolved to follow what he believed the Spirit was leading him into, even when many were telling him to say no. And I guess my main prayer, I don't even know if I've told my wife this yet, but as I was driving that, I think it was a Penske truck from Seattle to Pleasant Hill, and I went across all these flat grass fields and sheep, and I just thought, oh Lord, please give me some hills. Please give me some hills. I don't even know if there's hills in Pleasant Hill, but it's got the word in it. And then I got into Eugene, and I started seeing green and these little outcroppings, and then I started heading east, and I was like, oh, there's some hills. There might even be some mountains there in the distance. And the Lord even said, yes, this is where I have you going, Paul. Well, I believe the Lord needed to give some reassurance to the Apostle Paul as well. Let's read Acts 21, 1 through 16. And when he had parted from them and set sail, we came by a straight course to Kos, and the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And having found a ship crossing to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. So Paul and his companions are kind of just doing these little hops down the coast of western Turkey, hitting Kos and Rhodes and Patara, magnificent coastal ports with huge monuments and statues, beautiful cities. Then they had to switch ships in Phoenicia to get over to Syria, to get back to Jerusalem. Do you remember Paul's heart was, I need to get back to Jerusalem? So, verse 3, when we had come in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload its cargo. So he has to wait some time now because the ship is unloading. And so they sought out the disciples. They went looking for Christians. We stayed there for 7 days, and through the Spirit, they were telling Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. When our days there were ended, we departed and went on our journey. And they all, with wives and children, accompanied us until we were outside the city. and kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and said farewell to one another. Then we went on board the ship and they returned home. Doesn't that sound just like Ephesus? Prayed with the leaders, wept together, and then said farewell, left on the ship. Verse 7, when we had finished the voyage from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemais, and we greeted the brothers and stayed with them for one day. On the next day, we departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven. Remember the seven deacons that were chosen? Acts 6, chapters 6 through 8, we hear about this evangelist, Philip, who went to the eunuch. They're staying at his house. Verse 9, he had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since we would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, let the will of the Lord be done. After these days, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. And some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us, bringing us to the house of Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we should lodge. And so the Apostle Paul comes into Jerusalem. Let me just pray that God would use his scripture. Lord, I pray most importantly that I would speak from the heart, from what you have shown me in this passage, the resolution of the Apostle Paul, the voices of those who loved him and were concerned, who maybe gave him a checklist of why he shouldn't go. Lord, may that be a reminder for us as the church concluded, let the will of the Lord be done. My prayer, God, would be that the will of the Lord would always be done here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. That we would pray that prayer as this church and fellow believers did, even in Caesarea. God, use this word as we see it in your word. Help us to learn from it, to sit under it, to be submissive to your words to us. And I pray for each one, we may hear a different message, but may it be what we need to hear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what would have happened if Paul had not listened? And he had listened instead to the no's of these others. What would have happened if he had listened to the no more than the yes? Verse 4 of the chapter says they were telling Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. Verse 12, we and the people there urged him not to go to Jerusalem. Put yourself in Paul's shoes for a second. He has this offering. Do you remember? He's been collecting it throughout all the churches. His mission and goal, he feels, from the Lord is to come into Jerusalem with this collection. The church in Jerusalem is in need. He even tells the elders of Ephesus, the Spirit constrains me, and he tells me that I will be going into persecution and trial, but I have to go to Jerusalem. And then he hears from fellow believers. Actually, do you notice there in verse 12, when we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go up to Jerusalem. So Luke, the writer of Acts, and his closest companions who have been with him this whole time were also urging him, Paul, there's trial. There might be even death waiting you. Really, is that the place that you're supposed to go? What if Paul had taken heed, listened to the counsel, listened to the no's? Well, I think in some ways he might have lived with some regrets. First off, we'll find in Acts, this was the road for him to get to Rome. God had told him, you will get to Rome. You will get to the heart of the Roman Empire. What if Paul had listened to these friends and counselors around him? Would he have gotten some other way to Rome? Would his purposes have changed? Would he have continued to preach to Gentiles instead of to the Jews in Jerusalem? A lot of what ifs, because we don't know. Here's an interesting thing from those who would share, here are the deepest regrets of life. And it's kind of summation. If you were to say at the end, here's what I regretted. Well, I found a list of the highest top five. Well, one was, I wish I had been myself more often. That's heard a lot. I should have been me. That's good for me to hear. I need to be Paul Parker. The Apostle Paul was being himself, maybe a little stubborn, maybe unwilling to listen, but no, I must go to Jerusalem. I've been collecting this offering. I must take it. Another regret kind of in the top tier is I wish I hadn't worked so hard. I wish I had taken more time for rest or for family. I gave so many hours of my life to my job. Well, maybe that's a regret. Here's a regret maybe some of you have, maybe not all of us. I wish I had expressed my feelings more often. Some of us wish we would express our feelings a little less. Another top one is, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends more. You know, these are very common, you know, end of life, looking back. Here's the last one, the top five. Wish I had been happier in general. Wish I had been happier. I would have enjoyed my life that God has given me. Well, these are kind of the top five regrets. I believe Paul, when he says, I have finished my course, I have run the race, I have kept the faith, in 2 Timothy 4, he was a man who didn't have regrets. And I believe it's because he didn't listen to those who were saying, don't go, Paul. Do you know what's ahead of you? Of course Paul knew what was ahead of him. What's amazing, or a needed reminder for us, is that Paul shares in 2 Corinthians about all the things that he suffered and went through. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 24 and 25, this is what Paul says to the Corinthian church, but he was probably sharing this testimony to maybe even these believers that were saying, don't go to Jerusalem. There's persecution and trial coming. Paul says to the Corinth church in 2 Corinthians 11, 24, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. The same scourging that Jesus underwent. Paul had that 5 times. When you think of his appearance, what he looked like, his back would have been a sight to see. A man who understood persecution, understood suffering. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Of course, this man was set for Jerusalem. And we see his heart here in Acts 21. He says there, at the end of this section. You're breaking my heart. Why are you weeping? I am ready not only to be in prison, but even to die in Jerusalem. What about us? This is just a great, simple question to be reminded of. Maybe God has put something on your heart. Do you get dissuaded by it? Do you listen to a no instead of believing that you need to follow the yes? Sometimes we actually need to step out in faith and just say, I believe this is what the Lord wants. I've prayed about it. I've sought counsel. Me and my wife were on the same page when we came here to Pleasant Hill, Oregon. We felt this is what God's path was for us. We did have some say, really? Right now? You're going to leave Seattle? Sometimes, though, we need to be resolved with our yes, with what God has, even though the temptation is to listen to counsel against that. This is what Paul shows us here. The Spirit showed these people that Paul would endure trial and persecution. And even the closest companions, Luke himself, says, yeah, Paul, maybe you shouldn't go up to Jerusalem. Paul says, well, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to give my life for Christ, even if death awaits me in Jerusalem. So Paul is the example of one who says yes and listens to the yes more than he listens to the no. He endured all those things that we just read in 2 Corinthians 11. There were some others who put their trust in what God had planned for them. They listened to the Spirit saying, yes, do this. There was a story in 2 Samuel 10, if you want to read it, David's commanders of the army, Joab and Abishai, they come up against two different countries coming at Israel, forces from both sides. And they don't know if they're going to win the battle. They don't know, was this the right decision? But what they said is, may God do what seems good to him. Do you remember the story of Esther? In Esther chapter 4, verse 16, Mordecai says, Esther, you need to go before the king to plead for our people. Haman wants to destroy the Jewish nation, and maybe you've been put in place for such a time as this. Maybe, Esther, you are the one who can be the go-between, the adversary for our people. Esther wrestles with this, but she comes to the conclusion, I will go before the king, which she was not supposed to do. Death would be the result. And she says, even if I perish, I perish. She was willing to do what God led her to do for the people of Israel to bring about their salvation. And her own heart said, even if I perish, then I perish. I will step out in faith. Do you remember Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They said, God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow down to your gods. To have a resolution, to be able to say yes when others might say no. Is there a yes before you now? Is there something that God has put on your heart? But there's something else just saying, no, don't do that. No, that's not logical. That doesn't make sense. That might not really come to be a benefit to you. But maybe God is telling you, take a step of faith. Reach out to this person. Write a letter. I know God has been saying to me for a long time, reach out to my family member, one of my family members. I believe I need to say yes to that. I've been saying no for quite a while. Paul says yes to the Spirit of going into Jerusalem. And in doing so, everyone around him weeps and they speak and they're trying to break Paul's resolution. When Paul says, "What are you doing, all of you, weeping and breaking my heart?" That word is not that song, "Don't Break My Heart." I don't even know what that really means. I guess we do have that terminology that our hearts can be broken. But Paul's wording here is that, "Don't weaken my resolve. You're making me doubt my purpose to go." But he says, "I am ready, not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Paul was willing to sacrifice all, not for his career, not for his reputation, not for his status, not so he can have an easy ending. He probably had all those thoughts in mind. I think he's kind of at this concluding stage of his life. He's no longer stopping at all these places to preach the gospel and to begin new churches. He's kind of finishing his course, heading back to Jerusalem, wondering, "What does the Lord have for me next?" And he says, "I will give all for the name of the Lord Jesus. I am ready to be persecuted. I am even ready to die, if that's the Lord's will, for the name of the Lord Jesus." Why could Paul say that? Why can we somehow have that resolve? "I am willing to give, sacrifice, serve for the sake of Jesus." Because we know what is awaiting us. We know what is to come. Paul knew where he was headed. During this time, he's writing these letters as he comes to Jerusalem and begins to suffer and go into prison in Jerusalem and in Caesarea. He's writing to Timothy. He's beginning to think, "My end is near, but I have finished my course." I believe, like here he shares, "I am ready. Lord, I believe I have done what you have called me to do." Do you remember what he was called to do? Look at Acts chapter 9 if you want to flip back a few pages. Acts chapter 9, this is what God tells Ananias, who goes to this Saul, now changed to Paul. The Lord said to him, that is Ananias, in verse 15 of Acts 9, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." And yes, Paul suffered. Maybe Ananias told Paul, "This is what God said is your mission. You're going to go to the Gentiles and you're going to suffer for Christ." And Paul said, "I'm signed up. I'm willing. I am ready." Even here, as he's coming maybe to this last chapter of his life and what his ministry will be about, he tells the people, "I am ready to go to maybe be imprisoned, to maybe even death." What does the church say in conclusion? "Let the will of the Lord be done." Have you ever said that kind of, you know, just kind of threw it out there? We have this plan, if the Lord wills, or maybe we just kind of, we want to throw in that word because it sounds good, and we want the will of the Lord to be done. And man, I don't know, was this church just kind of throwing that in there? "Okay, Paul, we can't persuade you, we can't change your mind. Let the will of the Lord be done." No, I don't believe they said that flippantly or loosely or off the tip of their tongue. I believe, like that church in Caesarea, It's a great reminder for us as we look at this text and for our church. That should be our concluding prayer at all times. I believe the Apostle Paul said amen when they said that. Yes, let the will of the Lord be done. I would pray that that would be our prayer. Whether it takes us into blessing, whether a choice takes us into trial, that we would say, let the will of the Lord be done. And like I shared earlier, just like the example we have in Jesus Christ, who when he was in the garden, he said, not my will. My will, I would like to take plan B. We see the Lord Jesus Christ in his humanness. Father, is there a different way? Is there another route I can take? Can I get out of this at the end? I see what is ahead. Am I going to be able to get through this? But at the end of the day, he didn't want what his will wanted. He said, may the Lord's will be done. Let the will of the Lord be done. And so the Apostle Paul goes in on his road into Jerusalem. As in other books, such as Romans, he shares of his great heart for his own people, the Jewish nation, I do think there was even that personal tug that he needed to get back into Jerusalem to plead once again for his own people, to bring this collection that would help serve them, but also again, once again, even toward the end of his ministry, to go back to his Jewish nation, the people that he loved, that he said, I would give my life for them if they would turn to Christ. And eventually he would. He would go into imprisonment, go from Jerusalem to Caesarea to Rome, where it is believed that he was martyred on his last days. Gave his life for the sake of Jesus Christ. But we're not there yet. Paul was ready, and he was resolved with a yes, even when there were other no's. Well, how can we have that attitude? Well, our prayer should be, let the will of the Lord be done, whatever may come. We pray for healings. We pray for grace. We pray for those to be restored spiritually, physically. But at the end of it all, we want to pray. We want to do the Lord's will. So that's the truth to leave you with today. We want to be a church that says, may God's will be done. Even as we look at possibilities in the future, as we pray for someone who would lead music, we want the Lord's will to be done. And maybe we see a yes, even amidst some no's. We see a road less traveled when others say, take a different route. And maybe for you personally today, God's using this text to say, will you do this? Will you pursue this? Will you write this letter? Will you make this phone call? Maybe you're even telling yourself no. But there's something in there, a spirit saying, maybe this is what you need to do today. The Apostle Paul felt driven and resolved, and he would go forward into Jerusalem, into persecution, and even into death. Even when others told him, don't, Paul. Do you know what awaits you? Yes, I do. And he says, I would do it all for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that that would be my prayer. Wherever God takes me, if it's 10, 20, 30 years here, to say, yes, Lord, I want to do it for the name of the Lord Jesus, that his name would begin to make a difference in Dexter, in Pleasant Hill, in Cresswell, in the school across the street, that we would see Jesus being a name that people converse about, not that they laugh at and mock. For the name of the Lord Jesus, may we be willing to be resolved, even if others might say no. Let's pray. Father, you are the God who's in control of all things. You're the God in control of the Apostle Paul and his path. As he closes out his ministry here, as he goes before governors and rulers, as he gives defense after defense of how Jesus has changed his life, he knows his time is coming to a close. He knows more persecution awaits. But he says, I will give all, I will even die for the name of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray that our prayer here at the church, a prayer of need, a prayer of humility, is, Lord, use your Spirit to guide us into your will. For we want the Lord's will to be done here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. We want the Lord's will to be done for the Parker family and the Parker home. I want the Lord's will to be done for my life, even if that means repentance and change and confession. May we be so humble and willing to say, let the Lord's will be done, no matter what might come. Lord, all of this will bring you glory as we will look ahead. As Paul comes in Jerusalem, the Jews glorify God for all that has been done through the Apostle Paul and his team members. At the end of the day, you get the glory. At the end of the day, we can say, oh, how great God is. How good God is. His plan makes sense. His will makes sense. I want to be in his will. We would pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.